Mark 6, 34 to 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now, Pastor Rose will come up and share her message with us. Father, thank you for Pastor Rose. Thank you for your message. Thank you for us willing ears to listen to it. Bless the words that she shares with us and place them in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a comfort it is to me to know that one of God's names is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. That means that we serve a God who comes close. He's not distant. He's not far away. Remember in Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, David says, you know, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not have to be afraid because you are with me." That word there in the Hebrew is Emadi, Emmanuel, God with us. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Romans 8, it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Scripture also teaches that nothing can pluck us out of God's hand. So God's very name, one of God's names, God has many names, but one of God's name is God with us, Emmanuel. This is the kind of God we serve. God's name teaches us about God's character, that the one who created us and loved us and called us, this great and powerful and mysterious and holy God, put on skin through Jesus and moved into our neighborhood. The God who walked with Adam and Eve in Genesis will, in the end in Revelation, dwell again with us. So all throughout Scripture, in one of God's names and in all of God's actions, and especially through Jesus, we see that we serve a God who is with us. In the Gospel of Matthew, it starts with that Scripture that you can't really see up there on the screen. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In the beginning, very beginning of Matthew, it says, "We have a God who is with us." The very end of Matthew, Jesus is sending out his disciples, and he's going to be going to heaven. He's sending out his disciples, and he tells them to go into all, you know, to Judea and to all the ends of the earth. And he says, do all these things in my name, and I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. So in the beginning of Scripture and the end of Scripture, in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew and the end of the Gospel of Matthew, always we learn that we have a God who is with us. And so that is a great comfort to me. So in this series, we've been talking about, if you haven't been here for all three Sundays, we've been talking about, we've been using this picture. The triangle represents the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're the scarf, we as best we can, right? And so we had that we live our lives through Christ, and the scarf looked different on that Sunday. We live our lives in Christ, and the scarf looked different. And this Sunday, Deb did the best she could to illustrate that we are with God. God is with us. So we've been studying this, and we've learned that all of our life, our salvation, our freedom, our healing, our forgiveness, our strength comes through Christ, through his life, through his teaching, through his death and his resurrection. And last Sunday we had Pam's plant, which is still alive. Pam, oh, where'd she go? But needs water. We use this to illustrate and talk about how we are to be in Christ, that Christ is like the vine and we are the branches, and that we get all our nourishment and life from him, and we are to remain connected to that vine. We are to remain connected to our source. And even when chaos breaks out around us, when bad things are happening all around us, when we remain in Christ and Christ remains in us, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we can be strengthened and we can still bear good fruit even in the midst of that. And today we're going to explore life with Christ. We're going to, like I said, be comforted by that. But I want us to take us a step further. And not only can we be comforted by knowing God is with us, but we can be excited because God with us means, like the story Pam told the kids, we get to be co-laborers. We get to work with God. And so that's where we're going to move today. Move to the next one, sorry. We're going to work with God. Genesis starts it. Remember Adam and Eve. God creates the world and puts Adam and Eve in the garden. And what does he tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. But what else specifically besides be fruitful? What are they supposed to do? Well, besides that, what are they supposed to do? Take care of the earth he created. And what else does Adam get to do? A really cool thing. Name everything, right? So God has created the earth. He could probably take care of it on his own. He could probably name the animals and everything on its own, the plants. But he invites the humans that he's created to join in his good work. Not that we're equal to God, right? But that we get to join in and offer our little loaves and fishes to join in with his work. I remember when I was 5 years old, my mom pulled over our little, the thing I sat on at the table, it was like a little step stool, pulled it over to the kitchen sink and told me, Rosie, to get up there. And my first task was I got to dry dishes. And I wasn't very good at it because I had little hands. But I wasn't very thorough because I remember my mom always saying, don't put the dishes away when they're still crying. Because they would still be wet. This is before dishwashers, of course. And then when I got a little older, I could move the thing over to the sink, and I could actually get to stick my hands in the sudsy water, and I could start washing the dishes. Although my sister Eileen took great delight in dumping stuff back in, saying, "That's not clean. That's not clean. That's not clean." I'd have to rewash it because I wasn't apparently very good at drying or washing, but I still got to do it with my mom, with my sister. And I remember the day that we had this pink pitcher. My dad was a dairy farmer, so we brought in fresh milk every day. And we brought it in a little bucket with a lid, but then we poured it in a little pitcher and we used that milk for the day. And it was pink and it was antique. Was beautiful, and I was washing it, and my little hand slipped, and it broke. So I wasn't very good at dishwashing, but I got to do it with my mom, I got to do it with her. Even though she could have done it faster without me, she'd been more efficient without me, less dishes getting broken without me. But somehow, she still invited me to work with her. The picture of the little boy up there, he is not strong enough to change that tire, to get those nuts, those lug nuts off. But the father delights in working with his son and in teaching him how to do this. And so those maybe me with my mom washing dishes and the little boy there are maybe glimpses of what it's like when we work with God. We are not really competent to do it, but God's invitation is to come and he works with us and teaches us and instructs us. We get to work with God. Paul uses this image, and I have some of the scriptures up there. He uses it numerous times where he talks about being co-workers and laboring with God or working with God. He also talks about working with others who are humans and how together we are co-workers with God. At the very end of Mark's gospel, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, we have this verse which says the disciples went out and they are preaching. They are doing the work that God has given them. And even though Jesus is in heaven, the Lord is still working with them. They are not alone. We have this amazing God who doesn't really need us, but chooses to work with us. So this morning, we're going to spend some time with the story that Sir Luther and Jerry read and Pam told the kids. We're going to spend some time with the story and look at how Jesus, in his life, was teaching his disciples and working with them and teaching them. Now, before the story that we heard this morning, I want to tell you what had happened. So Jesus decided, his disciples had been hanging out with him for a while, and he decided it was time to send them out two by two. And he said, you're going to go out, don't take anything with you. Go out, and you're going to preach the good news, you're going to heal the sick, you're going to cast out demons in my name. Go out, you know how to do this, you've been with me, I'm sending you out. And so they went out, and they were doing that ministry. And around that same time, John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin and the kind of the forerunner that told everybody about Jesus, he got himself in some trouble and he was in jail and he actually was beheaded. So right before this story happens, what just happened was the disciples just came back and they were so excited. This is what happened. This is all the things that we did in your name. We were able to heal. We were able to anoint people with oil. We were able to cast out demons in your name. And they wanted to talk to Jesus, but they were weary. They were tired. They had just been doing ministry. I don't know for how many days, but they had just been out. Jesus had just gotten news that his cousin is dead, and he is probably sad and grieving. What's going on? And it says that Jesus was kind of with his disciples, but people were crowded all around them. And so he said, hey, guys, let's get away. Let's get in the boat. And let's head across the way and we'll spend some time. We can grieve together. We can talk together. The disciples were hungry, it says. They were hungry. So all of that happened before the story we read. They get out of the boat and guess what? All the people that had been talking to them had like figured out where they were going and by foot had gotten there. So what was supposed to be a quiet, deserted retreat time gets to be more teaching time for Jesus. So all of that had happened before. And now we get to the story where we see it. And Jesus shows up and all the people are there and he feels compassion in his heart. They're like sheep without a shepherd, it says. And he begins to preach and to teach. And I can just imagine the disciples, especially Peter, whom I identify with. He was already hungry before it started. He was already tired before this started. And if there are any introverts among them, they just wanted to escape, right? But by the end, it's starting to get dark. It's starting to be night. And they come to him and they say, Jesus, we got all these people here. It's time to send them home. Send them home. Or send them somewhere so they can get some food. They're hungry, which is code for we're hungry. And so Jesus doesn't say what they hoped he would say. I mean, they have just anointed people and healed people in his name. They have just cast out demons in his name. They have been proclaiming the good news. But the first sign of trouble, all these people and not enough food, and what are we going to do? And they just want to wash their hands of it and go away, which is sometimes what I want to do when there's a big problem that I don't know how to handle, right? But Jesus' answer to them is not what they wanted to hear. His answer to them was, no. The 5,000 men and all of their wives and all of their children, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Oh. Their response in the Gospel of Mark is, what? No. No, it's too late. No, we cannot. You want us to go buy food for them and bring them back? It's too hard. The next slide, please. And Jesus says, no, think about this. What do you already have? Go and see what you can find. And we know from other accounts that they found this little boy's loaves and fishes. But it doesn't talk about that in this. It just says they come back and they say, we have 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's what we have. And so it seems like the problem's too big to solve. It seems like what they have to offer is too small, but Jesus keeps working with them. He keeps working with them. And when we take what we have that seems insignificant and too small and we offer it to God, God does amazing things. Something special happens. And Jesus took that bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he kept breaking it and kept breaking it and kept breaking it and kept breaking it until everybody was fed. Jesus says, when you work with me and I work with you, there will be enough. There will be enough. Jesus' words in Matthew say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you are yoked with me, when we are working together, we are able to do much more than you ever could imagine on your own. Jesus then, I think it's so funny that there were 12 baskets left over. Because this whole thing started, the disciples were hungry, and there's 12 of them, and now they each get their own basket. It's a little irony. You thought there wasn't going to be enough? Well, you can each have one to take with you. God has a sense of humor. Jesus is trying to teach them. And they had just had success. Remember, they had just had success. And the first sign of trouble, they're like, oh, we can't do this. And he works with them, and he takes what they have, and he uses it, and suddenly there's more than enough. Jesus is teaching his disciples, when you're working with me, nothing is impossible. God is always at work in the world. Sometimes God's work is hidden. Sometimes God's work seems too slow for us. We'd like him to move a little faster. But God is at work. God created the earth, is making all things new. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is at hand. It's here. It's breaking in. And now we know that through his resurrection, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is ruling the world. It seems like the prince of darkness is ruling. But Christ ultimately is the victor. So we live in this in-between time between what is the fullness of yet to come. And so it sometimes feels like God's not doing everything we would like him to do. But that's what faith is. We trust that he is at work, that when we are weak, God is strong. When we work with God, God asks us to join in and offer what we have. Do you remember the story of Moses? Moses is hiding out in the wilderness with some sheep because he was wanted for murder back in Egypt. And he knows that things aren't like they should be back in Egypt, but he doesn't really want any part of it. The problem is too big. And God finds him and invites him to join God's work by freeing all of these slaves. But that work seems too big. What does God say to Moses when Moses is like, I can't talk. I'm a stutterer. I got nothing. What do you want me to do? What does God say to him? Do you remember? What? Well, yes, take Aaron, but even before that, what do you have, Moses? What do you already have in your hand? What did Moses have in his hand? A staff. How did God use that staff? God used that staff when he went before Pharaoh and would throw it down and it would do crazy things that seemed magical, right? It would become a snake and all this stuff. God used him with that staff when he held it and the sea parted. God used that staff when he went to the rock and water came out of it. Could Moses do any of that on his own? No. All he had to offer was a staff. And God did a work in that. God is at work, and God used Moses' stuttering self and his staff to set a whole people free beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. For some reason, God could do all this work on his own, but for some reason, he chooses to work with us. And that brings him glory. That brings him honor. God is looking for accomplices to join his work in the world. God wants to choose people like he chose Moses, the stutterer, or Abram, the fearful liar who was always telling people his Sarah was a sister, or Mary, the poor young girl who didn't really know what she was getting into, or Peter, the eager beaver who had a habit of sticking his foot in his mouth. God chooses people like that, and he chooses us. And he says, don't be afraid. I am with you. And when you work with me, when you labor with me, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, know that your labor, your work is not in vain. When you work with me and I am working with you, don't be afraid. The invitation this morning is to start paying attention to where God is at work around you. And where you might be invited to join in. Could be in your home, could be in your neighborhood, could be at your job, could be at church, could be a million and one places, could be across the world. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to when the Spirit nudges you, however the Spirit does that, right? And invites you. Pay attention to the passions God has already given you. I was thinking back when I was in college, I lived with four or five other women, and we each had a different passion, and sometimes we would debate and argue, but it's interesting to see how those passions played out. And they were all needed. My one friend was very, she just was so passionate about unborn children and making sure that babies were not aborted. That was her heart's passion. I cared about that too, but it was in her in a certain way that God had given her that she was going to do something with that. Another one that was so passionate about foreign missions. Another one that was so passionate about teaching God's word. Another one that was very passionate about reconciliation between races in this country. So there was different passions that God gave each of us that then that was part of the work he was inviting us to do in the world. Two of them became nurses. You know, they became different occupations, but those passions followed them, and they've been doing those things in ministry because that was a passion God gave them. And they were all needed. They were all different. That's how it works in God's kingdom. So pay attention to the passion God might have given you. Sometimes God's work is a small one-day thing, one-moment thing that he might invite you to do. You know, he might nudge you to do. It might be that, I mean, this morning I heard that Danilo and Mary got to church late because there was a man in front of them in the car that was, what did you say? He was in, like, he was unresponsive, and they had to call the EMT. They had to break in the window of the car. Well, you know what? That was your work to do this morning. You were working with God to save his life. That was your work. It's not going to probably, you're not going to suddenly become an EMT, and that's probably not going to be your life work, but it was your work to do in that moment, to pay attention. You could have, well, maybe you couldn't drive by, but most people could just drive by, right? But it was your work to do this morning, and you did it. So sometimes it's just a tap on the shoulder. It's one time thing. God's inviting you to join in his work. You do it. Sometimes it's for a season. You know, before I came, Phyllis, God had really encouraged you to work in prison ministry, and you did that for a season of your life. So sometimes God gives you work for a season. That's a particular time in your life where you can do that work. Maybe be a youth sponsor for a season. John and Patty, you had that for a season, right? So there's times where God invites you to a particular work for just a certain time. And sometimes it's a lifelong thing that will follow you your whole life. When I was a kid, I was always amazed by the story of David Wilkerson. We watched this, it was the first movie, because I wasn't allowed to watch movies, The Cross and the Switchblade, right? So it was really stuck with me. But David Wilkerson was like some kid from the rural Ohio or something, and he reads in the newspaper about these gang wars going on in New York City. He doesn't know squat about New York City or gangs, but God sends him. And his ministry, he's since passed away, but his ministry is worldwide. With these, I forget what they're called now. I've been to the church that he started in New York City, but he, Teen Challenge, of all these places. So what was, you know, a kid reading a newspaper or watching on TV a news story sent him into a journey that was life-changing for him and for many, 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 many young men and eventually young women. I was reading this week about a woman, they call her Sister Antonio, and she also is now gone, but she was just an average suburban housewife who got divorced a couple times, had six or seven kids. But when she met Jesus, she got a passion and a calling by God to do his work. When her children were old enough, older, and didn't need her at home anymore, she went to Tijuana, because she lived in California. She went to Tijuana, and she started a prison ministry. And she got so into it that she eventually moved herself into a cell there and spent her life doing ministry in that prison. That was a lifetime call that God opened the door to her. She actually, I was reading, actually was able to stop a prison riot when she was 85 years old. And it wasn't because she was strong. It was because the Spirit of God was with her, and she had said yes to working with God. So you never know. You never know. But us saying yes to God, to offering our loaves and our fishes, offering our staff, you never know what God will invite you to do with him. The warning this morning is don't try to do this at home on your own. It's like they say on TV. You know, you will get burned out. You will give up. You will get discouraged. The work that God invites us to is to do it with him. It's because we do it because we have life and freedom through Christ. We do it because we stay connected to the vine and we operate out of that. We do it because we are yoked with him, not because we're off being a hero on our own. We do it and we say with Paul that no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. This is what it means. Scripture teaches we have the opportunity to work with God because God chooses to work with us. As we close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. And I don't have any special papers or anything. You can just use the bulletin. There's markers up here and there's pencils. If the pencils or pens are no good in your pew, but I want you to think for a minute and you can answer one of these questions. Don't try to do all of them. When we do a 6-word story, it means we come up with 6 words, no more, just 6, that explains what the Spirit is stirring within you from what you heard this morning. What does it look like for you to work with Christ or for Christ to work with you? Maybe while I was speaking, God was nudging you. Yeah, there's a passion I gave you a long time ago. It's still there. It's still there. It's still there. Are you going to say yes to that passion? Or you can think about us as a whole body, as the vineyard of God, right? What does it mean for Whitehall Mennonite Church to bear good fruit and to work with Christ? So we're going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to give you some opportunity, and then we'll share our responses. But you're thinking of 6 words, or you can draw a picture, because, you know, some people like to do that. 6 words or a picture that describe what it looks like when you work with Christ. what this would look like. I'll share mine first. I mean, I had some other ones, but for me, I feel like the word from God this week is no longer weight on my shoulder. Meaning, I tend to take on God's work like I'm the only one doing it and God's not around, and the weight gets heavy around my neck because I'm not supposed to be by myself, right, Marty? So when I join God's work, no longer weight on my shoulder, because it's with God. There's freedom for me in working with God. When I try to do it all myself, not so much. Okay, who else would like to share what they have?
Sharing the good news with Rabbi Glenn. We went to the mall this past Tuesday. I didn't do so well. He did. He could talk and everything else. I have to, like, learn how to talk in front of him and not be shy. So, and I put down, I have to become bold and allow the Holy Spirit to lead me.
And you don't like following 6-word rules either, but praise God for what you're doing. That's okay. But yes, I appreciate that, Nydia. You're learning. And you're going out in twos, just like Jesus sent the disciples. Who else? Mark?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a testimony this is, but okay. I answered the first one, and I just said a mystery that plays out daily.
And it's a mystery how it all works itself out, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. Miss Angie, do you want to share, or are you being shy? Oh, okay, loud. Okay.
Yes, hi, good morning. I only came up with three, but my first one is that our God is a healer, and my second one is guidance, and my third is strength and encouragement, and God is just working in my life and guiding me. He's been there for me. He's getting me through a difficult time in God is a healer, and he's working in my life right now and getting me through a difficult situation.
And he's with you in that. That's a comfort in that, like we talked about in the beginning. Anyone else want to share? Jerry, Phyllis?
Phyllis first.
To feed others and to encourage them.
To feed others and encourage them. That's what it means to walk with Christ. Jerry?
When I think of Jesus and mm-hmm. we do these Bible studies, uh-huh. I get very inspired. So my...
Why are you whispering? Just talk.
I'm trying not to upset him. But my desire is this, to have more faith, more prayer, and more trust. I need to work on those three things. I haven't been because I didn't have any goal to use them, but there's so many needs, and I think I've got to the point where I can, you know, maybe help others in certain areas, okay. Share in the gospel and that kind of thing.
So more?
More faith, more prayer, and more trust.
More faith, more prayer, more trust. Anyone else want to share? I don't want to stop you. Donica, is writing up here. Do you have something you want to say? Can I read what you wrote? Can I? She wrote much more than six words, but she said, she wrote, "What does it look like for me to work with Christ?" And underneath it, she said, "Sharing what goes on during the day, and he guides me through hard times, and he gives me hope, courage, trust, strength, and faithfulness." Amen. Amen. All right. Jerry, come and lead us in prayers of the people. Thanks. Keep praying about what it means for you to work with Christ.